Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What? What? Yo, fuck them niggas who wait. Good. Now we sounding sweet. Go. Fuck them niggas who wait. Block them bitches who fake. Everybody is real and everybody too fake. Hell face. Hell face. Hell. Wait. Fuck them niggas who wait. Block them bitches who fake. You could be an earthquake or be a snake. Hell face. Hell. Let's get it. Fuck with me. Fuck them bitches who fake. All my shit on my plate. Y'all be under a fake one like you Donald Toupe. No real knowledge on foreign policy, obviously fake. But it's obvious, broken promises shall be a fate. I'm like the coach, dope as poet, no bullshit. I'm so devoted, I go at like 40 bitches. But I always go with Chloe, my baby mama G, my baby mama G. Labor took like 40 hours for no MEDs. Pick up the Maybach, I put these niggas in pieces. I dog shit, and watch these niggas walk in the feces on features. See, the problem is, they Malcolm Jamal Warner, I'm Malcolm X. Compare, yeah, realest nigga everywhere. Keep my peeps in Christian, and they never gonna lose their edge. Fuck it though, we like fuck it though. Me and Sean Big Puffy though. He been on for a minute now, but with him around, I'm a double up. Try one and another one. Fuck you niggas more, another one. Niggas, I'm Kurt Hennig, y'all niggas looking like bubblegum. Real shooter, Prince Ballard. Real shooter, Prince Devin. Only Buddha, no limb bias, nobody tries. We too excellent, the execution here too special. Bless the booth, what I do special. You a main event, on main event, what I do, pay-per-view special. You sleep off a Lauren Steele, I'm peeping all you artists still. MMG still the hottest still, like Rick Telly and Arnie still. Woo! I'm on my Rick Flair, hit your head in infrared, weapon on 6-0. I'm on my nature board. Niggas try to fuck up my money, still leave with the gold. Fuck them niggas who fake. Fuck them bitches who fake. You can be a earthquake or be a snake. Hell face. Hell face. Hell. Yeah. Fuck them niggas who fake. Fuck them bitches who fake. Everybody is real and everybody too.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling It Factor Radio. Your host, Wayne Benitez. Joining me is co-host Tommy Two Chips.
Hello, wrestling fans. Good evening.
Yeah. What's up? Yeah. We not here to do no fake-ass visual of a mayor about to be resigning from a city. Nah, we're not like that. Even though she's a good seller more than the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express and most of the Raw roster. So we're not going to get into that, but we have a special guest.
Yes,
she is. She is making a name for herself, kicking ass and taking names all over the Northeast and East Coast. Give it up for London Ali.
Hi, guys.
Hey, welcome to Wrestling It Factor Radio.
Oh, and thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's an honor. Yes. Were you a wrestling fan growing up?
Absolutely. I used to watch wrestling with my dad. He was a big boxing fan. I can never really get into boxing. It was never my thing. So we used to watch wrestling together, and that was kind of like his practice dummy. So kind of explains why I can take a hit nowadays.
Yeah, that's what sucks. Who did you idolize in the business growing up?
I idolized the same person. Till this day, my favorite of all time is Miss Gail Kim. That is my favorite wrestler of all time. She can't be replaced in my book.
Right.
Oh, no, she can't. Oh, man. The lady is a legend when it comes to wrestling. I mean, first TNA Knockouts champion, her and Awesome Kong, before the women became popular like they are now, they were having top-rated matches. She was having top-rated matches with Awesome Kong and on TNA. So before everyone else was famous, she was famous.
Exactly. Everyone thinks that, you know, women's wrestling, to me, has always been good on the indies. You know, unfortunately, fortunately, in the last 5 years, it's been shown on TV, but it's always been around. And like you said, Gail Kim and Awesome Kong was killing it back in 2007. That was 12 years ago. So it's there, and it's only getting better from now.
Yes, they've been lighting it up, so they've been on fire. And also, even Gail Kim, yeah, she even passed the torch to Tessa Blanchard right on Impact's last pay-per-view Rebellion right there, her final match.
That was a great match. Recently became like a really – I've always been a Tessa Blanchard fan, but as recently, she's becoming one of my favorites. Just her attitude, the way she walks, the way she wrestles, her aggression – it's everything that I want to be.
Right. And I still got to give it to her also that she can rhyme also. She can freestyle and rap also.
Yeah, I don't get those skills.
Right. And I will say that she kind of remind me of the whiter version of Tatiana from Empire, her character right there, and it just basically fits her right there also.
I haven't seen Empire since like the first season.
Well, you haven't missed anything. It's horrible. Bad storylines, too much stereotyping and I just wish they can pull the plug right now. It's a mess.
You know how things go. If it's a money investment and there's money coming out of this bill, be prepared for a 14th season.
Wow. How was it like training to start out as a pro wrestler?
For me, it was kind of hard because in 2016 when I started, I was 19 years old and I was still young and being immature. So it was like a lot of discipline that I wasn't ready to accept in my life, but I did. And it was harder because I trained with all men. And those guys literally had anywhere between 10 pounds to 100 pounds on me. So it was kind of like I was, once again, the practice dummy. And I didn't get any slack because I was the only female. And if I messed up, I was doing it 20, 50, 100 more times until I got it right. But I think that has shaped me into the wrestler that I am and the wrestler that I want to be. And I can only be so grateful for my coaches, Brandon Kay and Crusher Hansen, for giving me the chance just to step in the ring.
Also, have you been...
What are your thoughts on Sasha Banks? On how you've been following her situation? Some people say, you know, there are wrestling fans that say she's entitled, she's acting like a spoiled brat. Then you have other people saying she's being passionate about what she believe, you know, what she loves to do, and she doesn't feel she's being treated right. What are your thoughts on Sasha Banks?
I'm a Sasha Banks lover, and I feel like only she could make that decision. You know, sometimes we pray for things and we wish for things and we get it. It's not what we expect. So, you know, I feel like she's in a position where she does have the talent and it's not being shown. So I feel like in her mind, she kind of just like, you know, I'm on the shelf anyway. I might as well sit on the shelf permanently. Do I think she's wrong for kind of walking out? Can't say so, because if I was in that position or any of us was in that position, we'd probably do the same thing. So I can't say anything bad about her, because we've all asked for something and it didn't turn out, whether it was like a relationship or wanting a car, and it just didn't work out, you know? So mm-hmm. if she sits out, that would be, you know, it would be a shame, but she's young, she's hungry. What, she's 27, 26? She has a long way to go still, so. And that's my thoughts on that.
Did you do any other sports before you became a wrestler?
I'm sorry?
Did you do any other sports before you became a wrestler?
No, I was never into sports, really. I tried it. Like, I tried basketball, I tried track, I tried softball. And I was just never into, like, the team spirit, believe it or not. Like, it was just like, I'd rather just be by myself and watch wrestling and stay home. I was never really into sports. I was always into working out and just yoga and things like that.
Right. Yeah, I see with those Knicks colors on and some of your ring attire also.
Believe it or not, that was supposed to be red and blue, but it was so last minute. It just came out to be orange and blue, and hey, it looks nice.
Right. Have you had any comparison to AJ Lee also?
I haven't got that one. The one that I got compared to was Nicole Savoy.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a good worker.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I would say basically that AJ Lee's, you know, I would say she had basically the tomboy look also.
Yeah, I would say she had the geeky look more of.
Right.
The nerd look. You know, she plays video games and reads comic books. I don't do things like that. Not that it's a bad thing, but definitely a fan. Definitely wish she would come back and to wrestling, whether it's WWE or the Indies or something, because she is missed and loved by many people around the world.
Right. Yeah, what kind of music you listen to while you training and preparing for a match?
It depends, honestly. If I'm nervous, I like to listen to like really calm music, like Sade, Aaliyah, old school Janet Jackson, Toni Braxton. But if I'm like, if I know it's going to be a great match, a great show, I love to listen to, like, Meek Mill, Drake, 3-6 Mafia, things like that.
Right. Yeah, that Meek Mill is banging right there. Yeah, I like his one of his songs was Free also.
His whole album is just amazing. I can listen to that album all day, any day. That is a great, great album. And you can tell it was written by him because there's so much heart and so much soul into those lyrics.
Right. He tells a story and he's on point with everything, basically, what he's going through and everything. He even gave a shout out to Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner that supported him.
Yeah. You can just tell just by him being in jail. He was in jail for almost, what, a year? And
yeah, it's been like that. Yeah.
You can tell, like, those were, like, some of those rhymes were written down while he was just by himself. And because he's right. Some of this, like, one of my favorite things he says on the album is, I'm supposed to work this hard to give people my money. And I'm like, that's what people expect, right?
Right. Yes, he's definitely in my top five.
Who's your number one?
I would say basically right now in the game, I'll say Rick Ross right there. Future
really?
Is in there also. Yeah.
I never really sat down and listened to Rick Ross. I'll have to do that when I'm in the gym.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that French Montana also. Yeah.
I like his voice. Not too crazy about him, but he has a really, like, unique voice that I like.
Oh, yeah. He comes up with right there the swag punchline right there.
Absolutely, yeah. I like him when he's
right
with a lot of different artists. When he's like on the hooks and everyone else is like have a verse. He's definitely a good for having like a chorus.
Right. Definitely the Migos is not on my list, so
you don't like Migos?
Nah. I mean, once they put out there that they the best group ever, nah.
Yeah, I agree. If
right.
If you don't say Bone Thugs and Harmony, that's kind of an issue.
Right. Or Cypress Hill, or even N.W.A.
I mean, there's many in front, but there's not a lot of groups that last nowadays. People will get, you know, selfish, and it's like, I'm this, and I'm better than you, so we're going to go solo, and they ruin the group. So as of now, they're like the only group that's been together for a few years that's really, really popular.
Right. And I think they need to thank Cardi B for that right there.
I love me some Cardi.
Right. That popularity, she got them right there with that popularity right there.
Definitely. I mean, she literally started from the bottom. And now look at her. She's winning Grammys and awards and women in $1 million right now. Who would have
right
thought?
And right, yeah. People were just tired of Nicki Minaj right there. It's like the corporate world was holding other female artists back, basically.
Yeah, I agree. I just felt like a lot of people, Nicki Minaj is able to adapt to the industry. And just like wrestling, you have to adapt with the time and it changes, and the style changes. You have to be able to change with it, but be able to put your spin on it. And Nikki is one of the few females who can do that. Nikki can do pop, she can sing, she can rap, she can do trap rap, she can have lyrics, like really dope lyrics, if she really, really wants to. But you want her to say some goofy stuff, she'll say that too.
Right. She naturally is funny, basically. She is funny as hell.
Yeah, she got some songs where she says some outrageous things, so.
Yes, the best artist that came out of Love and Hip Hop, basically.
I mean, where are the other ones at?
Right.
I mean, no shade, but we really don't hear anyone's music.
Right. I guess because she was more real into her, into the show also, and wasn't, basically not there for, for the foolishness.
I knew about Cardi B when I was in high school, like 10th grade. That was, back in 2013? Like, she was so popular on social media just from her being a dancer. So when she came out Love and Hip Hop, a lot of people knew who she was already. So it was just kind of like fame on, well, being popular, you put fame on it, you put some money, then you give her a label, and now she's the Cardi B that we all know, but she's been Instagram famous for at least 6-7 years right now.
Right. And she's getting the most views, basically.
She won a Grammy at 26. Can't be mad at her.
Right. Finally, the Grammys are showing love, basically. They still need to show more love to the hip-hop artists.
Definitely. I definitely agree. I feel like now we, as music, we kind of think popularity should win instead of having talent, basically. You're popular, so you're going to win. And your album can be weak, it could be downright embarrassing. But if you're popular with your fans, you're starting controversy, you're on social media acting a fool, you'll win. And I don't think that's fair.
Right. I would still say other artists would probably do the same if this was the 90s also. If they had social media during that time. I would say maybe a 40% probably.
Like who?
Oh, you said like who?
Mm-hmm.
I would say basically like, I'd say anyone on a Death Row label right there. I could see
Snoop
Dogg probably doing that. Right.
Maybe just Suge Knight. I mean, he's still crazy,
right.
So. We're not going to talk about him because he might try to hurt us both.
Right. I mean, Snoop Dogg is that, he's basically, I would say that the godfather of the rap game right there.
But he
look out for every artist, yeah. Right.
I would say Jay-Z is. Jay-Z literally helps out all these young rappers. From paying Lil Wayne's taxes, literally getting Meek Mill his lawyers. So I feel like Jay-Z is the one who is the glue of the rap game, because the man's worth like $800 million, and if without Jay-Z, a lot of these guys wouldn't even be, they wouldn't even have money.
Right. And he actually gave back to, you know, Fat Joe and Jim Jones the work on their label, so they can do their upper labels also on the Rock Nation.
And he doesn't even ask for anything in return, because you got
right.
so much money and you got so much power over the music and these record labels. You can literally pay for things that are hundreds and thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, and it's just like it's nothing.
Right. And I would say if Tupac was still around, I think that he would have been up there like Dre and Jay-Z right there with the network, and also helping artists and communities also.
I would hope so. I think he would definitely be a part of the community, especially with like kids and the youth, education
right.
and things like that. But
right.
not sure if you see the Tupac movie, but he didn't really own a lot of his music.
Right.
That's where I have a couple friends in the music industry. Shout out to Navy Black. But they tell me that all the time. A lot of these people don't own the rights to the music. It's like that's something that you should own, because you want your checks when it's getting played on the radio and someone's buying a CD. You're not really getting anything.
Right. And that's, you know, some families like, you know, Big Pun family, they've been fighting for years to get the rights to his music, basically.
I mean, if it wasn't
he passed,
for Tupac at all, he wouldn't even have
right.
it. We wouldn't hear some of these songs that we know and that we love to listen to if it wasn't for Tupac's mother. She had to take him to show night to court to be able to release some of the music that he was able to record before he passed away.
Right. And I want to do the dude right that he grew up in Baltimore have unreleased things from Tupac that was on his documentary, and I want to do he still own the rights, or did he sold the all his the music that haven't been heard from the public also.
Crazy, you can write something down and it won't be yours.
Right. That's true. But these music, you know, established companies, they have all these, they control these millions and billions to get what they need, basically, right there.
I mean, it's easy to set someone up. You give them a $100,000 chain. Meanwhile, their deal was worth $500,000.
Right.
So, is this how you play it and what you're in it for? And I think that relates to wrestling. It all depends what you're in it for. If you're in it for the money, it'll show. And if you're in it for just for the love of whether it's music or wrestling, the outcome will always be different. The respect level will be different.
Right.
You don't have to walk around and, you know, be like, I'm this or I'm that. The real ones know, and they're going to give you your respect.
Right. What was it like working with Lady Frost?
It was okay. Don't really have anything negative to say about her. You know, she's been on WWE. She's been on Ring of Honor. You know, she's killing it. We don't have nothing negative to say. Don't really have much to say.
Yes, and when I see her character basically, and she's into it basically, and into her wrestling also, and she's like it feels like she's a star right now on the just on the indie, visiting the indie scenes right now, that's about to be signed and real soon by a major company.
Mhm. That's dope. I hope that she gets what she wants out of this business. I hope that she works hard. I hope she gets a great deal. I hope that whatever she gets, I hope that she's happy with.
Right. And I noticed that you also had a fun match with Katie Arquette and Calvin Couture, a mixed tag
yes.
team.
Yes. Out of most people that I fought a lot of women and a few guys. But I would say Katie is probably one of my favorite opponents. She's hungry. She's humble. Overall, very, very nice girl. And I can't wait to see what she brings to the table in 5 years. She's just one of those people who loves the business, respects the business, respects women's wrestling, respects what has been accomplished in the last 5-6 years. Same with Calvin. Calvin is another guy that is closest and dearest to my heart. I'll do anything for him. He's a hard worker. Just overall, two amazing people who deserve a lot more in this business. And they will get where they want to be if they continue to strive and continue to work hard and continue to love the business.
Right. And she's definitely a friend of this show also. She's been on here recently, and she's down to earth, and she's definitely Arquette, basically, or the family, basically.
definitely a queen, definitely a queen.
Yes. Also, what was it like being a member of the main event faction?
Believe it or not, we wasn't really. I wish that it would have been more, but fortunately for me, I am very close with Gannon and Duke. So the time that we did have, together. It was a blessing. It was fun. We have chemistry. We have fun when we're together. I've known those guys since I started. Those guys helped me out tremendously. So I wish we were able to do more. But, some things happen for a reason, and I wish in the future that we're able to actually do the whole main event thing with Tony Johnson.
Yes, they definitely a good tag team that have been on the show, and they making a name for themselves on the Northeast and other places also.
Absolutely, and I can't wait to see those guys on TV. I can't wait to see those guys accomplish what they've always dreamed about. They have 4 titles right now, and they're amazing. They're amazing
wow.
with what they do, and I love those guys. They're going to be something special. Just give it another year.
Right, that's right. This show represents Black excellence in wrestling.
Absolutely,
and it's been a good luck charm for them to later on sign with major companies like WWE, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, and AEW. And it, you never know, you might be getting the call to the NXT or WWE.
I'm very patient when it comes to professional wrestling. I'm in no rush.
Yes,
they say great things happen when you're patient.
Right. That's true. And it seemed like I know a few. One of my friends that's in the WWE right now is Derek Moore, the referee.
Really?
Yes. He was basically trained here in Maryland at Maryland Championship Wrestling and Bone Breakers, but I was just there for a short time. But I had other things going on during that time, and he continued to school basically right there, and he got his dream job basically at WWE right there. He's been refereeing a lot of matches all over the Indies with top names that later being in the WWE company like Cesaro and others.
I give him credit. Being a referee is not as easy as people think. Not at all.
No, not at all.
I think it's easier being a wrestler. Like, being a referee is very, very, very difficult. And, you know,
right.
They're a part of the show just like us. You know, you can have two crazy talented wrestlers and a referee who just doesn't know what they're doing. And they can literally ruin the match. So, shout out to all the referees who are properly trained and keep helping us with these matches, please.
Right. It's like a lot of audibles, basically, being a referee.
Exactly. Like, you need, you know, it's like the wrestlers are the singers and the referees are the beats. Like, we need you just as much.
Right. Also, do you have plans on working with any ones like Shine or even WSU in the future?
Yes, I actually will be making my WSU debut in June, and I am moving to Texas in a few months. And I will be joining the Reality of Wrestling School with Booker T when I go down there. So right now I'm just being patient, you know, staying in shape, working on promos and things like that just to prepare me for the future.
Wow. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yes.
Booker T's school produced Kali Ray, who's now with AEW.
Absolutely, Kali Ray. A lot of great people. A couple guys got signed to WWE like a month ago.
I think he's underrated when it comes to wrestling. I mean, the talent he puts out and the people that he interviews, I follow him. On YouTube, Booker T's on Reality Wrestling on YouTube, and he also interviewed a lot of wrestlers. The man is underrated about, I think, when it comes to developing wrestlers, recognizing talent and things like that. Because most of the people he put, you know, comes out under him goes to big places. I think he's underrated about, you know, how good he is.
I mean, Booker T is Booker T. You know, the name speaks for itself. Harlem Heat.
Right.
WCW, WWE, WWF, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, anyone that is privileged to train under him and learn the things that he's learned, he's a 20-year-something vet. So just for me to go down there and just to obtain some of the knowledge that he can produce to me is going to be a blessing in itself. You know, whether I stay in one spot or I go to the next level, I am going to be truly honored just for the training and just being able to be in his presence and learn from one of the greatest wrestlers, one of the greatest African-American wrestlers who've ever stepped on this planet.
Yes.
Right, he definitely should have had a title run, basically.
Yeah, a couple, but you know, or world heavyweight championship. Excuse me.
Off the WCW lineage from WWE. Yeah.
I mean, at least it was something, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Also, what's your thoughts of Kofi Kingston winning the Dirty Championship at WrestleMania?
Well, my first thought was, it's about time. But to me, it just shows that every little black kid who wants to be a wrestler, who wants to get in this business, it shows that they can. You know, nothing is too high to reach. Your dreams can be accomplished if you work at it. You know, you can cry about it, you can struggle, you can, you know, go through the ringer for it, but it's like he's never given up. And I think that when he won, it showed the African-American community that it can be done. And it just takes time, and it takes patience, and it takes hard work. And I am truly honored to be African-American, to be alive, to see something like that. Because take it back 30 years ago, that would never happen. That would have never happened.
Right.
So, you know, we're in 2019, and just to be alive, to see it, and be able to feel the emotion, and to be able to tell my future children and future grandchildren that I was alive when this happened is going to be something that only you can describe in your dream.
Right. It was like, you know, when it was basically Obama winning the presidency right there.
Exactly. Almost the same thing, just in wrestling.
Right. And a lot of talent, a lot of black wrestling talent, they broke down. They showed that it was history made right there. You know, my man MVP and Shad Gaspard, they was watching it right there, and it was basically a celebration. They broke down, and finally they someone accomplished made history right there for a WWE wrestler right there.
Definitely. And it's crazier because the people that I know personally who weren't even wrestling fans, and they were like praising him on social media, and that's how big it was. And it was that big that people who don't even watch wrestling or really into wrestling knew that that was a moment in history, in African-American history. In 2019, Kofi Kingston won the WWE Championship at WrestleMania.
Right.
Top it off, his story is real. I mean, anybody can relate to his story. You know, staying in a place 11 years, working, you know, like you mentioned, London, being patient, doing what we're supposed to be doing, never giving up. We all can relate to that, and it wasn't supposed to happen. I mean, the fans made it happen.
Spoke up. Exactly.
Yeah, they spoke up. Because he was, you know, supposed to be Mustafa Ali, was supposed to wrestle him. He got hurt. So Kobe stepped in, and it just built up from there. The fans spoke up. The fans made it. Like, they want Kobe. We want a Kobe. The fans like myself and other people and Wayne want Kobe. I mean, they finally were the deciding decision, you know. And I never saw a man go for two gauntlet matches within, like, weeks apart from each other. And it was incredible.
Absolutely, absolutely incredible. And I don't think people understand how hard gauntlet matches are. That was what? How long was those matches? To literally
over half
go...
an hour. The first one was like over half an hour.
Exactly. Both,
I think 40 minutes.
To wrestle for 40 minutes with guys who were all different in style. Yes, big guys like Samoa Joe and stuff
right.
like that. That's a lot.
And he didn't take a break.
No breaks. Literally no breaks. That is a lot. So it's like... And Kofi Kingston, to me, has always had the popularity.
Right.
Just, they never wanted to show because, you know, you put him with the New Day. And I'm a big fan of Xavier Woods, big fan of Big E. But when you put all of them together, you know, you're going to get one round of applause instead of three. So
mm-hmm.
Kofi always had that base. I mean, it was a couple years ago, probably like a year ago, and it was a couple guys in the ring, and the crowd was just saying, Kofi, Kofi, Kofi.
Yeah.
It's like, that's random, but it's like he's always had that base. So
mm-hmm.
I'm happy that at this time the fans spoke up just in time just to say, like, no, 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 we don't want this person, we don't want that person, we don't want Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, we want Kofi Kingston. That was... very, very happy that the WWE actually listened to the fans and said, you want Kofi, we'll give you Kofi.
Right. And I noticed that he was a big star right there at that time, about, I said, 10 years ago when he had that thing with Randy Orton right there, and he cut those promos in the back right there. And I thought he was basically like LL Cool J in that movie Too Deep right there.
yeah, can't believe that was 10 years ago, but it was, you know. I thought, me personally, being, what, 12 years old, I thought he was going to win because they was pushing him, they was pushing him, then pushing him, then it kind of just, like, stopped. Then when the story came out on what may or may not have happened, but I'm kind of happy that it waited because it felt so real. It felt so good to see him win, not at just, like, any Raw or any SmackDown or any pay-per-view. It was WrestleMania. So, like I said, if you wait, good things will come. And now it's a play, and you had to wait 3 years for it. And look at the outcome.
Right, and I really like that part of SmackDown right there when he was about to get his – payback from what Kevin Owens did and stuff. If I'm, they really did the right thing for him not to come out music yet. He said, I'm about to fuck this bitch ass up. The way he was coming down, he was like, Kevin Owens was trying to get away, but he had the best of him at the end, though. It was, that's the Kofi I want to see right there.
I definitely agree. Now that he's champion, I feel like he should be a little bit more aggressive. You know, like, he has personality outside of the New Day. Outside of that, whatever Jamaican gimmick they gave him back in the day. He has personality.
Right.
He has charisma. He's fun. He's fun to watch. I know people who don't watch wrestling, they like watch him because he can do a whole bunch of springboards and backflips, and he's fun. So just to see him with that edge and that, you know, a little bit of mean streak in him, it's fun to watch.
Right. And I just want to see some of that, you know, a little bit of Muhammad Ali. I'm doing this for my peoples. I'm doing this right there. I'm going to celebrate and take it to my neighborhood that I grew up on.
If if it's produced right and if it comes out right, I hope it does. Cause that's what I was thinking. That's what they were kind of going for. But you never know.
Right. I'm telling you, Vince, he needs to get some of these, you know, black writers in here, give them some authority on the black talent right there, let make them things suitable for them right there.
Absolutely, absolutely right about that.
Right. It can be like a John Singleton type of, you know, show or something like that, or Spike Lee, you know, like that, it will take off.
Yes and no to that. For the simple fact that it's kind of hard to be someone else sometimes. You know, people told me that for a long time. Like, when I first started, be like this, be like that. And then it's awkward. It's like, I don't know how to be like anyone else. You know, you can pick and choose things you like from certain people. But at the end of the day, everyone else is already told you can only be yourself.
Right. And when I was watching like one of these Ring of Honor promos that the Briscoes did just now on Kaz and Enzo, I was at one of my jobs, and the coworker said that they thought they was black. they thought they was listening to a world star hip hop and stuff.
So they have absolutely no filter. Absolutely
right.
No filter. Their promos are, they're raw, they're edgy, they're graphic. They want to say how exactly they feel about you and how you came at them. So when it comes to the Briscoes, you definitely got to come correct.
Right. You're full of shit. Y'all some peak-ass pussies from the entertainment, from E. I just want to see. They got me dying laughing, and it was like they cut a promo.
Literally a promo. And that's how they feel. I'm definitely going to say it.
Right. Even, they big supporters of the hip-hop also.
You can tell. You can
right.
You can definitely, especially was it Mark?
Yeah.
You can tell, like, you can tell he listens to like urban music, like Drake and Lil Wayne and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, he bust out some Jadakiss that time when Samoa Joe came back to Ring of Honor. It's Jay Briscoe, yeah. The older one, he basically was saying that the champ is here. You come off the ring looking hard with you. Oh, man.
Those were two guys that definitely, without working, you know, for the WWE, they made a name for themselves just by being themselves. They're just the Briscoes, and you can't tell the Briscoes to be anyone but the Briscoes. You're going to get
right.
This on the promo just like everyone else gets this on the promo.
Right. Exactly. I still got to give it to Enzo, though. He had another one with good promos also.
Enzo was good at... He was definitely entertaining. I can definitely say that. Especially when he turned heel, he was very good at being annoying. And he knew that.
Right.
And he knew that he could get on someone's last nerve with a promo. And he did I loved it. Honestly, I loved the promo. I used to get so mad, like, take the mic off this guy. But it was kind of like, I have to keep watching. Because I want someone to just come down to the ring and just smack him.
Right. And I could tell that he'd been watching some old school wrestling right there and probably picked up the Violent Brothers promos also, like the Boogie Man, Jimmy Violent. He kind of reminded me of him right there when he do his promos.
I guess I gotta start watching him more. I haven't really been watching like newer wrestling. I've always been a fan of like older wrestling.
Right.
Like old school Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, things like that. So, but I definitely do gotta start catching up on wrestling.
Right.
I got so much wrestling to watch, actually.
It's like watching NWA and that time when it was like with the movie Straight Outta Compton came out, they started having these NWA wrestling right there. The Dangerous Wrestling Organization and stuff had Flair, Harley Race, Rose on, Dusty Rose right there.
Really?
They made I mean, they was bad with their promos and wrestling in the NWA right there. Even the white wrestlers, you think they was mixed or something.
I mean, back in the day, wrestling was something different. I think that's what ultimately got me in love with wrestling. It was just so much drama, and it felt like a soap opera almost. The other day I was watching this promo with Big Sexy Kevin Nash on WCW, and he cut a promo on Roddy Piper. And that's probably one of the most raw promos I've ever heard, because it was just like, you shouldn't say that. You're not supposed to say that. Like, how dare you say that? Like, I'm saying that to the end. I'm 20 years late on this promo, so I'm like, how dare you say that? But it was just like,
Right. Whoa,
I can't imagine actually being in the crowd or watching it live. I probably would have, like, jumped off the roof. Like, you can't say that about him. It's Roddy Piper. So, like,
right.
I definitely love wrestling. And I love wrestling because of the 90s. Because of
how
anti-war. It kind of would go back to that in a way.
Right. And it was like Kevin Nash was like he had a lot of charisma for a 7-footer right there, and everyone can relate to right there, and I think he still need to get pointers to these 7-footers now right there. And I said, yeah, they need to go to the Kevin Nash school right there.
Seriously, you're definitely not lying. Because Kevin Nash, I felt like, not even that he had charisma, he knew he was just bad. You know, he's 7 foot. You can't touch me. You know, just his attitude. He walked like he was 7 foot. He talked like he was 7 foot. He walked like he was Big Sexy. He talked like he was Big Sexy. So it was just like the way he carried himself as a big man. He was untouchable.
Right.
And in his mind, that's how he carried himself. So, to the fans, that's how it was perceived.
Right. And I just wish that time when Big Cass was there, did a match with Kevin Nash in the WWE when he was there, right there. And he would have said that would have been a good promo he would have cut on Big Cass. You just me from 10 years ago with no damn personality.
That is a hurt piece. That is definitely a hurt piece for someone to say,
right,
like, you're a different version of me. Like, that would actually hurt my feelings.
and you know that Vince will run with it right there. He will run with it.
Seriously, like, but it's, I mean, if all the big guys, you think of, like, in history, Kevin Nash is definitely one to be up there with personality and charisma.
Right.
and overall attitude. And he didn't really have it. I mean, WCW really didn't have a gimmick. It was just like, he was Kevin Nash, and what you see is what you get.
Right. And, you know, Big Show improved more also. And, of course, you know, when Andre turned heel right there, he cut one of the meanest promos right there. And, you know, kids like me and others was, like, afraid of him right there.
I wasn't even born yet.
Right. It's just amazing, you know, watching his promos in the late 80s right there. And, you know, he had his afro going on at first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he and I was saying that, why he's dressing up like Comp, the rapper Common, dressed up right there.
Andre is definitely,
and I think, right,
he's definitely one I wish he would get more recognition. You know, he gets some, but it's
exactly.
Like, Andre was big, you know. I watched his DVD collection when it first came out a couple years ago, and like, that guy was like literally larger than life. I couldn't imagine being like 7'4". You know, we take
right.
for granted just being able to, you know, put on our shoes or just sitting in a stool. He couldn't do none of that stuff. I mean,
right.
I mean, him wiping his butt was probably like a chore, like doing dishes.
Right.
Like, that is a lot to do.
Right. And he was very agile at the beginning of wrestling also.
Absolutely. He was definitely more agile, more able to move around, more athletic, but unfortunately, that disease that he did have, his body was just going to grow and grow and grow. So, you know, unfortunately, he passed away pretty early, you know. He wasn't even 50 yet when he passed away.
Right, at 45 right there.
Super young. In wrestling, that's young.
Right. And I said the medicine nowadays they have for big men like Shaq or the Big Show, they find a way now to not to let that happen to ones like they had Andre. Andre would have lived a little bit longer right there.
Maybe in this time, probably, you know, because he died, he was like almost 500 pounds. I mean, that's huge for just a person,
right.
Just one person. And
yeah.
Being that tall, you can't turn around. They said he would drink 20 beers and be okay. You know, nowadays
right.
People drink, the average male will drink 2 beers, 5 beers at the most, and they're falling over. So someone drinking 20 and asking for another 20 is like,
easy. Right, he was, he was like one of a kind and a badass also.
Definitely, when he beat Hulk Hogan and gave the title to Ted DiBiase because he bought it off him, like that was something that. It's hard to even think of things like that because it's so, like, what? Like, it's so hard to even, like, imagine that happening nowadays because, like, that's, like, that is some heel crap right there. Like, I can't beat you, so
right.
I'm going to make this beat you, then I'm going to buy it off him. That is some, like, whoa, like, I don't have anyone invested into
right.
Andre
and
or Hulk Hogan.
Right, and that was like the biggest rating ever to this day, basically for a Sunday main event right there. When I was watching it when I was little back then, and it was everyone was everyone treated like it was a real headline and everything, like the Super Bowl basically right there.
And I wish I was alive during those times. Watching it now gives me the chills. So I can just imagine being, 12 years old watching that. You probably wouldn't move to go to the bathroom to eat dinner.
Right.
Because you're so glued to the TV. You just want to know what's going to happen next.
Right. And do you have any upcoming shows or any other appearances you would like to plug for our listeners?
Next month, well, actually next week, I'm going to be performing at Super Crazy, and it's in Easton, Pennsylvania. I'll be there. Like I said, next month I'll be in WSU, New Jersey. And as of now, I'm just really preserving my body for the next chapter when I move to Houston and, start training with one of the best wrestlers in the world. So right now I'm just all about saving myself and getting ready and staying in shape and basically running the ropes again.
Awesome. And Booker T's right there in Houston, right there, that Impact Wrestling is working with Booker T's Wrestling Reality also. They have a working agreement right there, and you never know. You might see you on TV this year.
Sooner than later, right?
Right. And do you have any other plugs you want to put in there also?
I'm sorry?
Any other plugs?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
Where can fans reach you or watch some of your matches also?
Oh, you can follow me on Instagram at London_Ali, and that's LONDYN, not an O. And on Facebook, same thing, London Ali. And you can find some of my matches on YouTube and that's really about it.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Check your girl out, definitely. She's definitely the future of women's wrestling.
Thank you.
It's an honor. You can come back anytime to the show, London, anytime.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yes. Definitely. When fans heard that London was being on, they thought of the Upper London right there from Nipsey Hussle right there, his wife.
Little London.
Yes.
Prayers for her and her family.
Right. They in prayer every day, definitely. And it's still a tragic loss. We lost someone basically that was for the communities around LA and other places right there, and he was showing his black excellence everywhere, basically right there, and it was like one of the it was a huge loss to everyone.
His work and his projects and his legacy, his children, his wife, you know, is still here. So that's what we should be grateful for. You know, he's left so much good on this planet that we can only appreciate. We can only love. And I mean, and like you said, it's unfortunate that he was taken so soon and so tragically and randomly, honestly. But he's a good man who spoke up, who said things that a lot of people are afraid to say and would never say. And
right.
Thank God that he's left so many great things on this planet that we can only appreciate.
Yes. That is true right there, yes. I still listen to his music, you know, basically, because it's the truth right there. His music is the truth.
Honestly, I never listened to a lot of Nipsey. My cousin was a big fan, so when we would hang out together, we would listen to Nipsey because that's what he loved to listen to. But I was more into Nipsey for what he represented. You know, just one of
right.
those people in the world who not afraid to be a rebel, not afraid to, you know, sit down when the world says stand up. You know, when everyone jumps, you keep kind of just like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do what's right for my people, for my community, and for his children and for his family. And, you know, it's one of them things where he was truly an angel on this earth, and he was just called home way too soon.
Right. Right at 33 right there, very young age right there.
Young.
Right.
Not even 40, you know, not able to see his kids graduate high school, let alone college, or, you know, but I'm happy that he set his family up financially so that they had nothing to worry about.
Right. Yes, he will always be a legend right there. He will always live on also.
One of the greatest. Unfortunately, we got to say gone too soon once again.
Right. That's true. Yeah, we're running out of time. London, you can call that. Come back on the show anytime you want to. If you want to do this again, definitely, we'd like to have you on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me once again.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Alrighty. Take care.
You have. All right. You too.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that was London Ali. If you want to download this episode, it's up at WrestlingItFactorRadio.com and also at BlogTalkRadio.com/WrestlingItFactorRadio. or Twitter also at Wayne Benitez Wrestling It Factor Radio / It Factor Entertainment. Our Facebook fan page at Wrestling It Factor Radio / It Factor Entertainment. I'm signing off, ladies and gentlemen. Later.
Dream Chaser, Double MG. Cali, what up? Rosé, what up? Woo! I'm popping bottle at the bottle, model at the model. Maybe I got back up out it, I live it, you rap about it. Niggas is talking money, really I left about it. Cause I'm getting sick of just like the cops and they try to stop us. Stop us cause we be ballin'. Rappers is deep and far and this Ferrari be retarded. I hit the cat when I park it. Put right when I started. These niggas they can't afford it. They're poor and they get imported. I seen it, I wouldn't leave it. I stuck up in a dealer, feeling like a killer. Banana clips for all you niggas think you gorilla. Got a couple million. Thinking I might not.